For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
From not getting any call-ups in my life, I get two call-ups from two national teams in a span of 2 days. I was ecstatic. I was over the moon. I was just like, what is going on right now, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chump Chat. It's your boy, Johan Gomez, alongside my co-host, Senna Tessman. And today we have a very special guest, Holston Kiel player, and also USU-17 World Cup player, Nico Carrera. Welcome to the podcast, my boy.
That's a pleasure. I've been waiting for my invitation for a long time. You guys started this chat a long time ago and just barely now getting the invitation. So quite excited to be on here.
Of course, of course. We had to. We saw the second league debut, which is huge. So we have to talk about that. But first, let's start from the beginning. Just how are things? How are you enjoying the break?
Things are going well, man. The break is nice. You know, it's the first break where I'm of age and that COVID isn't as serious all over the world. Of course, you're still taking care of yourself, still taking care of your loved ones, but you can have a little more freedom in the sense of what you can do. You know, I was just, I've been spending time with my family, went to Cancun with one of my best friends. Now I'm back home before I go back out to Germany for preseason.
Big time, huh? Nah. I said of age. Okay.
Of age, man, finally over 18. Well, of age everywhere except the United States.
So, obviously, I think, you know, I know that you got a concussion. The people might not know that you got a concussion towards the end of the season. So you got to go home a couple of weeks early. How are you healing from that? And are you ready to go now?
I got to go home actually just half a week early because they had to keep me there to make sure, give me the green light to see if I was okay. It actually kind of sucked because it was before the last two games of the season where I probably would have gotten some playing time. And it happened in training. Got a nice little hit to the head. Stopped the goal, though, as I told my mom. You know, at least I did my job. So the ball just came at me pretty hard. But I stopped it from a very close distance. And it actually, I thought it was going to be very simple. It was just going to be like 1 week off. But it was actually like a whole 3 week process of me finally being able to go back to being normal. I couldn't do school. I could do some type of workout, but I really couldn't push myself. And it was just really weird not having the power to do anything or really do anything else to help heal it other than do nothing, you know?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, concussions are kind of tough to deal with because it's not like you can really even...
They're iffy.
Right?
You can't train. You can't do like therapy on them. You really can't do anything. That's probably one of the hardest things. Not doing nothing when you have a problem that you want to fix, you know, and you know that's the only solution. So it was kind of frustrating at times, but now I'm past it and I'm getting back into rhythm, back into shape. And that's the goal right now.
Yeah.
I like that. Who you been training with in off season?
In off season, so in Cancun, I didn't do any training other than cardio. And right now, I'm just doing with Hop. He's always my go-to guy. He's always my go-to guy here in Dallas. Been working with him for almost 3 years now. No, I think 3 years for sure now. And always my go-to guy when I'm back in Dallas. Always. He does top. But he always does a top job. I think, Johan, you're working with him right now, aren't
you? Yeah, shout out Coach Hop. I was with him yesterday. We're talking about you. He was telling me that's the hard thing about the concussion. He was telling me that you like were out for a little bit and that you're going back soon, and so that you only had like 10 days to get back in. Like,
yeah, I don't have much time to get back into preseason shape. But I mean, you do what you do with what you have, and so I'm gonna do my best to get back into preseason shape, be ready for it, and you know, find a way to be ready. That's the only thing that you really can do.
We want to take a quick break from the video to shout out our sponsor, BET Online. They continue to be the number one site for all your betting needs. Don't forget that the NBA playoffs are going on right now. Who do y'all have winning the NBA finals? But on a serious note, make sure to go to your mobile desktop, check out BETonline.com, and use the code BELIEVE for 50% off your welcome bonus. That's BLEAV for 50% off.
Yeah. Let's talk about FC Dallas, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about FC Dallas.
Let's talk about FC Dallas.
I mean,
what happened, bro? What happened with FC Dallas? Why didn't they want to sign you?
Oh, that's a question you'd have to ask them. We did have some talks, and you know, at the end of the day, it just ended up working a different way. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm still so thankful for everything that happened the way it did. You know, everything. I really truly believe everything happens for a reason. And I think that, and I'm thankful and for the club for the way that they prepared me to do other things. You know, like they really are a top club. But then when we were in the academy playing together, we were always the best academy, and they really did prepare us for another level. So what happened? What happened? It all went very well in the end of the day. You know, I think I see FC Dallas in a positive light. Especially also my brothers here. I see the way they're doing things now. It's all very positive. You know, I think in the sense they're still a great club, and I think they're going to become one of the better clubs in the MLS in the next few years for first team as well.
Hopefully. I want to take it back, though. I want to take it back to maybe before U17, because I think U17 was the year that you played with me in 10 a little bit.
Yeah.
That was the first year you came back, I think, from Pachuca, but talk a little bit about the story about how I think you were in the academy originally or at FC Dallas. And then I think you didn't make the academy. And then so you ended up going to Pachuca and making it there. Tell us a little bit about
that. Yeah, no. So basically what happened, it's an interesting story with FC Dallas. For the pre-academy, you know, I went and tried out for the pre-academy, tried to get it, tried to go for it. You know, that was my goal. I actually was trying out as a midfielder / striker. So quite interesting positions at that time, you know. Maybe I would have taken your job, Johan. I don't know. But yeah, no. Basically, I did. I in my mind, I thought I did some pretty good tryouts. At the end of the day, I didn't end up making the team. So that year was pretty tough. But you know, I kept my head high. Then the next after that year, I didn't make the tryouts, and then I also didn't make the premier team. So I got cut from both the academy team and the premier team in the same day. And for the people out there, premier team is the level below the academy. So I got cut from both of them, and I had no team. I had to find another team. And so I found this other team, this coach that kind of was picking up the scraps left by the premier team in the academy, making his own team. And also for FC Dallas and an affiliate. And I joined that team. I have a great season. I build my confidence up again, because really my confidence after that was completely torn down. A lot of help. Got a psychologist. You know, that really helped me as well. And the next year I go into tryouts again, this time as a six, with all this confidence, all this, you could say, swagger. And once again, nope, I don't make the academy again. They caught me for 2 years straight. And after that, me and my dad finds an opportunity called Alianza. I didn't really know what it was. I go try out. I make the nationals, the finals. I go to the finals. I put out two really good games. And then I get invitations for 12 official and 2 unofficial invites from academies in Mexico and the U.S. And that's how I ended up actually going to Pachuca. And then I went and played almost 1 year. Well, 1 year in Pachuca, one whole season. And then Lucci was actually the guy who ended up bringing me, who convinced me to come back to FC Dallas.
I remember that story now, but I have to ask you, like, after 2 straight years of them cutting you, right? Or you not making it.
Yeah.
How do you keep it in your heart positive enough to say, okay, FC Dallas wants me back. I'm going to go back to them now. I know your family was there, obviously, but, you know, I mean, I feel like most people would hold a little bit of a grudge, no?
No, of course. Of course. At that time, I was a 14-year-old kid. Of course, I had a grudge. Of course, I had a grudge at 14 years old, you know, but as you start to mature, you start to let things go. And not only that, but the behavior of the club changed. The behavior of the club changed from when I was 12 to when I was 14, you know, like I think we both know the job that Lucci, Mikey, and these coaches did in the academy when we were there. You know, they did a great job when we were there. So they really changed the whole environment. And that's really what made me let go of the grudge and love the club. You know, and I really did feel like that happened. And so as a 14-year-old kid with a grudge, he came to FC Dallas, he won his place, won his spot, climbed up the ranks just like you guys did, and fell in love with the club.
I do remember the first time we played together. I think it's together or maybe against each other. Was it was like the tryout on field 5 at FC Dallas, and it was like the 01 group for the next year, like the 17s with Lucci, and he put you at center back, but it was like in the second half of the game. And I can't remember, we were playing, I don't know if Joan was there because you already, you know, you were with the big boys, but I remember when he put you in, bro, and I was like, who is this kid, bro, for real? And then you did well, bro. You did well. You made some good tackles and you played well. And obviously,
I gave a PK away that game. I remember.
Yeah.
I gave a PK away.
Yeah, you were a bit nervous, I think. But at the end of the day, you did well. So I do remember that first time we played together. That was field 5. I just remember being like, who is this kid, bro? But it worked out good.
I remember that clearly as well. I was actually on vacation from Pachuca. And Lucci had a meeting with my mom and dad, and basically Lucci invited me to go play, and my mom and dad committed me to this game without me even knowing. They just got home and say, hey, you have to go play a game here at this time. And I, okay, why not? You know, and of course I was nervous, but I mean, I had a good time, and what happened after that was pretty nice, you know. And I mean, as I'm sure some of the guests know, you. We played together for like what, 2 years, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
In the academy. That was pretty nice. Our age groups was really, really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, I think, well, me and my brother talk about it, but I'd say the 98, probably around Weston's age to the 03 age group is probably, I know Antonio falls outside of that category, but
yeah,
I think 98 to 03 is like the peak years of the academy. Like you could probably name 20 guys who are like at a decent level professionally now. So easy, I think no academy touches that. Now I think me and Tan were talking about it a little bit. It evens out a little bit more. You see guys like Philadelphia Union, you know, I don't know, other academies that are pretty decent, but I don't think that in those maybe 5-6 years, no one touches FC Dallas in terms of production. Like
no. Or
you can name like 30 or 40, John.
Yeah, easy. To be honest, I was being generous.
I think from the 2002 age group, I think you can name out of the 11 that were starters, I think you can name seven or eight of us went pro. And that's just crazy. That's crazy production out of one starting 11 group. Like, that's absolutely wild.
But don't get it wrong, bro. The old ones would have smacked y'all, just so you get that right. Like, don't be acting like y'all got some group, man. I remember y'all was like the team that was falling behind.
You know, we at the end of the day, we didn't win no national championship or anything, so we can't really talk or anything.
We didn't either, really, to be fair. But
yeah, but you guys,
we made it to the final.
We made it to the final. You guys at least made it to the
final. I mean, not just talking to trash, my brother was on that team, but like, if y'all are gonna lose, you gotta lose to someone outside your division. Y'all lost to Solar, man. Like, come on.
That game was absolutely heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Y'all gotta watch my Solar.
No, 2-1.
No, the first time, when it was at that field far away. It was at Solar's field. You know what I'm talking about, John. There was one game they got waxed.
I remember one game where Nico. It was FC Dallas, and bro, I didn't get on to Nico. I might have got on to you. I don't know.
No, you did. But you got on Letive, and Letive got on me
because he tied like last second to score against Solar, and he fucking went crazy. He started celebrating like everything. Bro, I respect it because he doesn't score all the time, of course.
No,
but I remember I was on the sideline. We were warming up, and I was telling everyone, I was like, "This is unacceptable. Why are you celebrating a last minute tie to Solar?" And then I got on him after the game. I was like, "Bro, you just tied Solar. You can't be celebrating like that. It's unacceptable."
I don't think I ever celebrated a goal versus Solar.
For the Chum Chat, I don't know if you guys know this, but Johan is cold. He when they made it past the group and made it to the semifinals in the DA, they always tell the group not to celebrate, just put it cold face and walk away. Always, you see all the other groups celebrating and everything. Johan tell the whole group, don't celebrate, don't want to see a smile. We move on. It's expected of us.
Hey, that was funny though. No,
that's, there's a video. There's funny. A video where Tan's putting the plaque onto the final four, or I'll just like This is a clapping. But that, that's what we were, bro. We were cold, bro. Like three we honestly
and then go walk away.
Bro, that was a thing though. That was our year. But to be honest, you know, things don't always go your way, which they didn't go y'all's way either. But also we want to say before you came on, we were admitting that to be fair, it's not like our Solar where we would smack them 6-0 every time we played. Like Solar for y'all's age group that year won the championship. They so they were good. Obviously good. But Tanner's convinced good. That they were Barcelona around y'all one game. I don't remember that.
There was one game, bro.
At that field, I don't remember the complex, bro.
I remember because we played after y'all, and I was watching the game, and I was like, how are they wearing FC Dallas jerseys out there? Like, this is crazy.
I think I know what you're talking about, the University of Dallas, when we went and played there, I think. Aren't you?
Nah, it's a complex, so, like, there's more than one field. Like, it's a big complex. I don't remember, though.
I wasn't there. If they were, I wasn't there, because I don't maybe remember it was, that either.
Now, maybe it was I was playing with the like 01, 02 age group, and it was like the 03s or something playing or something. I don't know. But I swear it was the 02s, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, because y'all played together the year that I left, and you signed in February of that year, right, Dan? And y'all played together?
Yeah, we played together. We went to Mexico.
That was dope. Y'all won the SEMA tournament, right? Together?
Yeah. That was lit, though. That trip was pretty fun. I think my favorite part about that trip is Chewy waking everyone up at 2 a.m. to give us Advil pills so we can be ready. Yeah. He said, pastillas mágicas for the game tomorrow.
Yeah, that was crazy. No, that tournament was crazy.
Like a long-ass streak that they had, right? Something like that.
Apparently, they hadn't lost a game in like 6 years or something.
That was crazy.
And they had all their fans, bro. That was a lit tournament just because they acted like they were the stuff.
And then Malik scored and went straight up to them like that.
Yeah, that was dangerous.
Chuki also scored. I remember seeing that video.
Yeah. And Tuku.
Bro, didn't their fans like try to like not attack, but like they were like starting to come toward, like run towards the fence when Chuki like celebrated in front of them?
No, that was Malik. It was when Malik went like this in front of them. There's this big basketball guy that was just sprinting down. And I think this guy was like 6'7", 6'8". Like, he's just coming down. And I actually, if you see the video, I was about to take Malik's spot because I was taking him back. And then if he would have thrown a punch, it would have been on me, not on Malik, because I was taking Malik's spot. So I'm thankful that the security guard stopped him before he got down there.
That's funny, man.
But we talked a little bit about Dallas. Obviously, now you're in Kiel. Let's talk about that process. But before actually we get into that, because I want to talk about you represented the U.S. at the World Cup when you were still with Dallas. And I feel like, for me personally, I don't know about Tam, but for me personally, obviously I knew you were good. You're a great player. You know, you have a lot of personality, a lot of leadership, a lot of good qualities. But for me, it just felt like it came, like, so quickly. It was like Nico had gotten a call-up, or at least that I had known of. And then all of a sudden, he's, like, trying to decide between these two teams to go to the World Cup. Like, they're both fighting for him, which I thought was crazy, but it was cool. So tell me about that.
I'd never gotten a call, never even gotten talked to until, of like, I think it was 2.5 months before the World Cup, 3 months before the World Cup. I've never gotten a single call-up in my life. Like, not even something saying, you know, they're looking at you, you're being considered for a call-up. Not even that. So it was actually the DA tournament where he lost to Solar. After the loss to Solar, a few hours later, I got called down by Chris Hayden. He calls me and Diego Letaif down, and he says, you know, you guys are going to be called into the Mexican national team, U-17, and you guys, if you make the final roster, you guys will go to Japan to play a tournament. And that was just like the first time that I had a call up, and I was so happy, man. Like, I was so happy because I felt like it was a long time coming. I felt like I put in the work to get at least one call up somewhere. And it just ignited this hope inside me that, okay, maybe I can make it to the U-17 World Cup, because that was my goal at the time. You know, that's where I think every player who has a chance wants to go. And so basically, I got the Mexican call up, and then the U.S. was notified that I had the Mexican call up, and they were notified that I was going to get my American passport very soon in the next 2-3 weeks. So the next day, I just get a text from my agent saying that Rafael Wicki, who at the time was the U17 head coach for the U.S., he says he wants to get on a call with me. And so basically the next day I get on a call with Wicki, really good guy, really, really good guy. And he basically just asked me if I'm open to playing for the U.S. And of course I say I am. And he personally invites me to a U.S. camp. So basically from not getting any call-ups in my life, I get two calls from two national teams in a span of 2 days. I was ecstatic. I was over the moon. I was just like, what is going on right now, you know? And so basically I go play in Mexico, go to Japan. We win the tournament. I come back 10 days later. I'm with the U.S. in California. And then after that, I have basically in 3 weeks, there's a tournament in Netherlands where both Mexico and the U.S. are going. And basically that's where I have no more time. I have to decide which nation am I going to represent. And then that time I ended up choosing to represent the U.S. It was a really hard decision, but at the end of the day, that's the decision I ended up making at that time. And actually my debut with the U.S. Was against Mexico in the tournament versus Netherlands. And we actually ended up winning 2-1. And that was a pretty, pretty interesting night to say the least.
Let me ask this though. Obviously, yeah. I'm sure you're happy with your decision now. You got to play against Japan, right? You got to start against Japan.
Yeah, I got to play against Japan and come in as a sub against the Netherlands.
So that's a great experience. Obviously, you know, me and Tan have talked about that with a couple of the other guys on that team here before, how it was maybe sounds a bit of a failure considering how talented that group was.
Of course it was.
But you look at Mexico and a team that you guys, I think they beat y'all in CONCACAF, but y'all beat them in that Netherlands tournament right before. And you see them go all the way and get second place to Brazil and lose, honestly, last second because they were winning for a while. Did that make you feel some kind of way like, oh, I wish I was there? Or were you pretty content with your decision?
No. I think in life, once you make a decision, you stick with it and you live with no regrets. No, I made my decision. I was at the time, I was happy with it, of course. And I was happy for them as well, for the Mexican national team. You know, I have friends that play in there that I still talk to this day. You know, I was happy for them to get there. I was hoping they would win it. You know, sadly, they didn't. By a PK, I'm pretty sure that's how they lost it. But yeah, of course, no. I didn't regret my decision at all. And I was extremely happy for the whole team as a whole, because really the people on that team were really, really nice people.
Let's talk about decisions, though, because you said decisions. And yeah. I mean, not that you have a big one coming out necessarily, but I mean, like you said, you're back open. I mean, you're cap tied to the U.S., right? Now?
Yeah. If I were to want to play for Mexico, since I played the U17 World Cup, which is a FIFA tournament, I would have to do the whole process.
So I guess that puts you more in the USA's field right now. But I just want to know, have you had any contact from the USA team or the Mexico team?
The communications are always open for both national teams right now. The reality of it right now, it's my main focus as and still is, you know, club play, you know, really breaking through in the first team of Holstein Kiel, really starting to get consistent minutes, really starting to win a position that will get me the starting 11 more consistently. And so that's really is where my focus has been. I've not been really paying much attention to what is the national team. But of course, I know in the future, God willing, I will have to make that decision again of who will I have to represent at the men's section, the U.S. or Mexico. But right now, that's not something that's on my mind. But I know that down the road, hopefully, it will be.
I'll get a little more specific. Has Mexico reached out to you for anything? Like, I know you know, like your boy Pisuto's at that tournament over there now.
Yeah.
Anything like that?
No, nothing directly like that. I just know that the communication is open. I couldn't do anything for these past 3-4 weeks. So there has been zero chance of me being able to do anything. It makes no sense for any contact to be made. You know, the people who truly follow me knew that. So it doesn't really make any sense, but the communication line from the U.S. is open and the communication line to Mexico is also open. You know, it's about keeping the doors open and not closing the head to any opportunities that may come in the future.
With your current team, what's like the what's like your goal and the team's goal for this upcoming year?
This upcoming year, just I think it's really just be stable. You know, that I think that's the team's goal in a way, because this last my goal is to break through in the first team, you know, get consistent minutes. You know, that's my goal. It's clear as day, but the team's goal, which is a little more, and I can go more in depth, it's just to be stable. You know, this last year we had really complicated year where I think most of the year we were in that relegation battle, which I'm sure you know, Tanner, is stressful. It's not nice to be in that club environment at the time. It's very difficult, you know, to be really, when you fight for points, you're really fighting to stay up. You're fighting for the life of the club, the livelihood of the players around you. And it's not the easiest times around the club. You know, it's not all roses and sunshines, all roses and rainbows. Sometimes you have to have some very hard talks. I know after a few losses, the general manager came down, sat us down, and just went into us, you know, and it happens. It's okay. He didn't go into us in any bad way. He just went into us into a reality check to get us motivated and go and get us going, you know. But these are conversations that are not easy to have. So the next year, for the club is to be stable. And once we are stable, you know, hopefully fight the way to promotion. But really, last year we lost our head coach, resigned. We had to have an interim head coach, then we had to get a new head coach, then adapt to his system. So, you know, it was a whole process. And this year, just keep building off what we did at the end of this season, which was really start to win a lot of games.
Yeah. I've watched a couple of y'all's games because it'll come on, like, second league. I watched a lot between, like, the third league team. So we'll always be watching, like, the second league goal cast where they go through all the games and stuff. So. If you break through, I'll definitely be watching a lot more of you. I didn't get to watch the game where you debuted, because didn't you actually get like a lot of minutes because you came in early in the second half or in the first half even, no?
I came in minute 54. Yeah. 54. So I got almost the whole second half. Actually, it was really nice. I actually won a PK. I came in as a left center back in the line of three. And I got moved to the right center back of the line of three. In the last 8 minutes, I ended up actually playing as a striker, which was pretty interesting as well. So I don't know.
Which one do you prefer? Do you prefer not striker? Do you prefer right center back or left center back?
I mean, I want to say striker, but since you took that option away, to be honest, I prefer left center back just because I love to do this little hip movement where I cut in.
Oh, my gosh.
Left inside. Yeah. And then once I'm in the middle, I have my right foot to pass left, right, long balls. You know, I just feel more comfortable doing the hit movement with my left foot and then cutting and dribbling in with my right. I'm sure you, Johan, I'm sure you, I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, this was annoying.
Well, why they put you at striker, though? For real, though.
Because
they needed a goal.
Okay. Yeah, we needed a goal. We were down 4-1, and we actually ended up coming back 4-3. Yeah, 4-3, and they needed the goal, so they sent the super striker up. That's really all I can say. I'm not a bad striker. I can score goals. I can genuinely score goals. I'm aggressive. I can somewhat shoot. To be honest, for my position, you know,
I can score goals. I can somewhat shoot. That's a beautiful sentence, right?
No, but like for my head, with my head, like I'm really good with my head. I'm really aggressive in the box. I'm not afraid to get dirty. You know, I got this little quality where I just little tap ins. I can find the right position. So, a little tap ins. You know, as I say, a goal is a goal. It doesn't matter if you score a 30-yard banger or a 2-foot tap. You know, it's okay. That's the same. But I'm sure you know, Johan.
Yeah, I know how it is. I mean, I know that us in the 0-1 age group would have loved someone who could come up and help us in moments like that. I mean, obviously, you know, you had me, Tim, guys like that, you can score goals already, but you weren't going to put the Lele striker to help you. You know, if you put the Lele striker to help you, then you were down bad. You practically already lost the game, you know, or even worse.
He'll shoot people.
Yeah.
You put Judd up there. Worse.
Yeah.
You know.
What's up with Judd? Where's Judd? I haven't seen him in any of these for a while. I missed Judd. The first one. Oh, my favorite ones for you is where you guys go in on Judd, like in the academy days. Oh, that it brings back like nostalgia where you guys go in on Judd. Or I just remember the team buses, right? You guys would just freestyle and rap and just go into Judd and all these other people around. I'm dead, man, those times. But where is
Shout
he?
Out Judd.
Where's he at?
He's busy being a college student, man. He's busy being a college student. But we might have to bring him back for a couple guest episodes.
You guys have to see what he's up to.
But that's funny.
Is he still as country as ever?
Oh yeah, he's even more country now, for sure.
He went full country, bro.
Yeah, full country. Yeah, for sure. But no. Let's talk about how's the life. You enjoying Germany outside of football?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think in a sense it's, I see it as an amazing experience, you know, as I'm sure you guys both, you know, being so young and being able to live all these experiences of living in a different country, learning another language, seeing different cultures, meeting different people. All of that is a great experience to have as a young person, you know, and that's the way that I see it, you know, personally, the life, it's very different compared to what I'm used to in the US, and especially what I'm used to in Mexico. But it's something that I've been enjoying so far, to say the least. The German people, they're very nice, they're very polite, and they follow the rules very, very well. You know, I think that's the one thing I have to say about German people. But definitely different from where I'm from. But I have to say that I'm a happy man over there, especially where I'm living. I really like that. We're next to the ocean, next to the water. So it's in that sense, I think Kiel is a very pretty city because of that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
A little quick fun fact. So Nico's aunt teaches me German. Yeah. So that's our connection there. But it's Germany. People think the people there are mean, but in my experience, the people have been very, very kind, very nice. But I want to ask you about a story. I don't know if this is true, but I overheard. I don't know when exactly this was, but I was informed that you left to Dallas, I think, or on holiday or whatever it may have been. And obviously you have a car out there. And I heard that you let your friend take care of the car or whatever it may be, or maybe go move the car somewhere else. I don't know. And he wrecked the car. Is that true or no?
So basically I'm coming back from, I have my car over there in Germany. I'm coming back from the US to Germany. And I'm asking all these people, hey, can you come pick me up? But it's a long weekend and they're all on holiday. They're all with their family. And there's only this one guy at the apartment complex where I live with that I'm cool with. He's a professional handball player. And I'm like, hey, bro, can you come pick me up? He's like, I wish. I don't have my car. And so basically I'm like, you know what? There's a spare key in my apartment here. You can go and take the spare keys to my car. And can you come pick me up? And I was like, can you also put some gas in it? I'll pay you back. No worries. And so basically he goes, put some gas in it. And while he's getting gas, he's pulling out, someone rear ends him from behind. And so someone rear-ended from behind, he comes pick me up and the rear end is a little messed up. I have to go fix it and all that. But at the end of the day, it was nothing big, just things that happen. You know, life happens. You know, the guy did nothing wrong. It's not like he went out and partied with it and drank or anything like that. Nothing bad happened. It's just life happens. Got it fixed. Thankfully, I have good insurance over there. Wasn't a big problem at all.
It's good. It's a funny story.
It's a... I definitely had a laugh once it was all over. You know, I wasn't even mad at him. You know, I was like, you know, it's, what can you even do? Like, it's not like he was using it for a reckless reason. He was getting gas and coming to pick me up. You know, he felt really bad, and we got it all figured out without any hassle. Just that this like German bureaucratic stuff, it takes a long time and you have to be very orderly. If not, they don't really like it. So that was a whole process in itself, and I needed help.
Before we start wrapping this up with a success question and kind of how we wrap every episode up, I want to ask you if you remember where you were when you got the call that you were going to get offered, I think, a contract by Kiel.
I was with you, man. We were We were down. What's the high school name?
Keller High School.
We were down in Keller High School. That's where we train there very often during the pandemic. Me and Johan were training buddies during the pandemic. You, me, Ricardo, shout out to him, Ricky, and Jogo as well. Yeah, we were training. I get a call from my agent. He gives me the news, and I go tell him, you know, I was excited. I go tell Johan. First thing Johan tells me, congratulations. Now let's get back to work. You got to work, puppy. Let's go. You know, and that's how it was. That's how it happened. And, oh, man, I was so happy. I remember that day very, very clearly. It was really, really nice.
Yeah. Now you fought your way through the 19s. Now you're, I mean, made yeah, your second
debut. It was a whole process. But to be honest, COVID was tough. I don't know if you guys were affected by COVID at all, but, you know, going a whole other year without really truly any games. I only got to play 6 games for the U19s, and with that was enough to get pulled up to U23s really quickly. But with the U23s, I couldn't make the jump from the U23s to the first team without playing at least a few games. And I had to wait 6 months for that to happen, 6-7 months for that to happen. And after I started getting games, that's when I started to get pulled up in a very serious way with the first team. And actually the first chance I got with the first team was because one of the first team players got sick, and I was the only player on the second team that had the vaccine already, and I was able to get moved up without any COVID restrictions. And basically, and apart from being one of the better prospects in the second team, so I got pulled up, and I took my chance, did it amazing. And after that, it's been history, and no one's taken that from me, you know. As I always told my dad, once I get the opportunity, I'm going to stay there in the first team, and they're not going to take me out no matter what. Not even going to try to dig me out. Like, you know, I'm staying there. I'm finding a way. I'm getting stuck. I'm getting dug in.
Yeah, I like that. That's what I always respected about your mentality. It's always like being guerrero, like a fighter for sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm always attento. I'm always attentive to what you're doing, always supporting you. You know,
yeah, that. Me too, bro.
But
me too, for both of y'all. For both,
yeah, that's also the thing about COVID, though. It can be negative, but also like you said, someone got sick, you were vaccinated, and now look at you got your jump into the first.
Yeah, exactly. Not moving, exactly. So
it can be positive and negative, but I have to ask you. You know, you've gone through some trials and tribulations. You know, you've experienced some level of success, some might say, but what's your definition of success, and do you think you've achieved it yet?
I think my definition of success is not something that you can really see as reaching a certain point. Like I don't think for me level success is reaching champions. No, I think level for success is objective to each person because we're all different. We're all different. I think my definition of success is reaching your full potential and knowing that you gave it your best, knowing that you did everything possible. You left it all out on the field or wherever you are, in school, in your job, that you left it all out there and that you reached the highest that you possibly could, that you did everything possible in your power on and off the pitch to make sure that you're given the opportunity to reach the higher point. And whenever, wherever you go, wherever you get the opportunity, that you're ready for it, that you're ready to take it, and that you do take advantage of it. And you reach as high as God will give you the opportunity to reach. That's my definition of success. And to be honest, I have had some success, but I've yet to reach the success that I feel is my full potential. I think I still have a long ways to go. I still have not seen the ceiling in my potential. So that's where I'm going. That's the path I'm on as the same as you two are.
It's an interesting answer. I think that's the first time someone has brought God into it, but we're all religious here. So yeah. It's good to hear that. It's refreshing to hear that. Maybe we'll have you on for part 2 when you feel that you've reached your full potential. That should be interesting. But I'll let Tan ask you kind of his follow-up questions before we wrap up. That was a good answer, though.
Oh, it was a good answer. I think it's a different perspective. Like you said, we're all different. So, you know, it's definitely subjective to what you're trying to reach in life and what you're trying to do. But my next question is, obviously, Chump Chat. We've had a lot of guests on, a lot of good guests. A lot of decent guests. But who do you want to see on next on Chump Chat? I know you're a fan. You're one of the ones that bought the merch. But who do you want to see on next on Chum Chat?
To be honest, I just want to see Judd back on it. I just want to see Judd back on the show. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, those were my favorite episodes. Those are the ones I lit whenever I'm driving long distance. I just put on your guys' episodes, and I just love the ones where Judd are on it. You know, Judd just brings a whole new vibe to it. But let's see who else other than Judd.
We got to get Judd on maybe for like a little special episode now.
A little update. You know, his love life is always interesting to listen to. You know, his life. He's an interesting guy. He's genuinely a very interesting and really good guy with good values, in my opinion.
Nah, he's a good guy. That's why he's our friend.
Yeah. But soccer player, if you want the more serious answer. Get my brother on the show. He also has a lot to say. And right now he just got called up to the U-20s qualifier down in Honduras. He'll be leaving next week. Get my brother on the show. I'm sure he might have a different perspective about things, but we're wired the same. We just get to our, and he actually ended up did signing with FC Dallas, even after I didn't end up signing with FC Dallas, you know? So it might be an interesting thing to talk about.
Shout out to Anya. I think he has a lot of similarities with Jogo for me and now with Tanner signing 100%. With FC Dallas. So yeah, it'd be an interesting one.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else, Dan?
No, that was it. I appreciate you coming on, bro. This is a good episode. I hope you're enjoying the offseason. Best of luck next year for sure, though. Make sure our fans stay tuned. Big things coming. Obviously, we have the Chum Chat Blessing works for everybody. So now that Nico's been on the Chum Chat Blessing, big things can happen. Expect that Chum first Chat team debut blessing. Soon. So we'll see.
Chum Chat Blessing. Love to see it.
Yeah, the Chum Chat Blessing is coming your way for sure. But ladies and gentlemen, if you like this content, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. His Instagram will be popped up throughout the whole episode. Thanks to our editor, Anthony. So shout out to him. This episode was presented by BET Online. And as we always say, go find your success. Deuces.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.